Begin the current daf, Masechta Shavuos, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Lamed Vav Mabez, second line offer in Ba'am of the Yamut, where the Gemara begins the Gemara's discussion of our Mishnah on the previous daf, which opened up this Perek Shavuos HaPikadon, discussing the laws of oaths regarding denial of a deposit. So the Gemara introduces a related discussion. Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Shmuel Berei de Rabba Bar Achana, and a third Talmud Chacham, Rav Yitzchak Berei de Rav Yehuda, Tani Shavuos Bei Rabba. They were learning Masechta Shavuos in the Yeshiva of Rabba. Now, Pogabu Rav Kahana encountered these three Tamit HaChamim, Amr, as we contend Tamav Lam Zayin Med Alf, Lahu, he said to them the following question. Hezid B'Shvuas HaPikadon, which is the Halacha of HaMishnah. If someone is deliberate regarding an oath of deposit, which we said in the Mishnah, the Halacha is, as it says in the Pasuk, it doesn't say Benelam, one is generally liable a carbon asham for the Shvuas HaPikadon that he swears falsely that he doesn't have that person's deposit. But he adds in a variable. The person was deliberate, and V'Hisru Bai, and before he denied upon oath, he was warned regarding, hey, we know that you have the deposit and you're swearing falsely, and we're warning you, you're going to get punished. Now, what's the halacha? Is he going to be liable a carbon or lashes or both? Now, as Rashi points out, why the Gemara only mentioned this question on Shavuos HaPikad and not Shavuos HaEdus is because although by Shavuos HaEdus, when someone is adjured to say, hey, you know testimony, and he swears falsely to that effect that he doesn't, although there's also liability of Mezid like Shaygig, you can't ask the question that the Gemara is asking here by Shavuos HaPikad, because by Shavuos HaEdus, you cannot have a definite Hasra at the time when the person is taking Shavuos HaEdus, because who knows if they know testimony to be able to warn him to say, hey, you know, and therefore we're warning. They don't know what's going on in his head, what he knows, what he doesn't know. Here they can know that he has a deposit. And they warn him and say, hey, you're about to swear, we're warning you, we know you have the deposit, what's the halacha? The Gemara explains the three different options. Do we say, keeping the chiddush, since the whole halacha of Shavuos HaPikadon being liable for a carbon is a novelty, it's unique. Why? The b'chala Torah lo yashkechan mezid demaisa carbon. Throughout the whole Torah, we never find that a deliberate sin brings a carbon, which Rashi points out is not precise, the entire Torah, because there are four exceptions, which our halacha is one of them, where you do bring a carbon for a deliberate sin as one does by a shagig, which if someone has relations with a shivcha harufa, a nazir that became tamei, Shavuos HaEdus and Shavuos HaPikadon. But essentially what it means to say is you generally don't find this halacha in the Torah, and yet V'hacha Maisi Karbon here by Shavuos HaPikadon when he denies, and he knows he's lying. He still, even though he's deliberate, he brings a carbon. So maybe you could say that Loishno Astrabeh V'Loishno Loi Astrabeh, it doesn't make a difference if they're warning him or not. This halacha is you always get a carbon, even though generally when someone does something deliberately and he gets warned, he gets malchus. Here, even by a deliberate, we find that he brings a carbon, so even when he's warned, he'll bring a carbon. Or maybe option number two. When did we say for deliberate sin of swearing falsely by a deposit that he really has, that he's going to bring a carbon is when he wasn't warned? Maybe when he's warned, that halacha always is. If someone does a deliberate sin with a warning, milkalach, he gets lashes when it's not a chiv misa or a chiv something more severe. And karbaloimai, so if he does not bring a carbon, that's option number two. Because when he's warned, then you get lashes. Maybe option number three is you actually get both. As we find, even when you do a deliberate lie by the Shavuos HaPikadon, you bring a carbon here also. And the fact that it was a warning will also make him liable for lashes for both. So that was the question Rav Kana asked from them. So Amrulay, they said to him, Tanina, we learned the halacha in our Braisa. The Braisa says, Chamura Heimena Shavuos HaPikadon, that the oath of falsely swearing regarding a deposit is more severe than the Shavuos HaEdus by swearing falsely that one doesn't know testimony. Why? Shechayoven azadoin emakas, where by Shavuos HaPikadon, if he's deliberate in his swearing falsely, he's liable for lashes, which does not apply by Shavuos HaEdus, because as we pointed out before, you can't have hasra, a definite warning to know what's in someone's head, to have makas by Shavuos HaEdus. And moreover, Vashigasa, when he swears falsely regarding a deposit and he's a shagig, which we explained in the previous daf means he's shagig regarding the carbon, but he is definitely on some level deliberate in regards to the deposit that he knows that he has. There, the halacha is asham bekesev shkalim. He brings a carbon asham with a value of 2 slum. In contrast, by carbon edus, when he swears falsely regarding testimony, there he doesn't have to bring a carbon kavua. There it's what's called a carbon el v'yarin. There's a leniency. If you're poor, you bring a much cheaper carbon. So that's the stringency, says the Braisa, that applies to Shavuos HaPikadon over Shavuos HaEdus. So on that, they told him, from the fact that the Braisa points out that when one is deliberate regarding the Shavuos HaPekodin, he knows he's going to be chayav all the liabilities, and yet he still swears falsely that he gets lashes. Machlal da'asrbe. Obviously, the case is told about where he was warned. You only get lashes when you're warned. V'kamer makas in carbon loy, and it says, what does he get when he's deliberate? He gets lashes and not a carbon. So that answers your question. In the case when there was asra, there's makas and not carbon. And umay chumran, just to follow through and explain the brisa, what is the stringency of shavuos pekodin over shavuos edus, meaning of getting lashes instead of a carbon? Because you're not going to do both, so why is it more severe than edus? Edus is a carbon, and hereby shavuos pekodin is makas. It's because the nechel le'inish, the ma'isi carbon v'leilika, because actually it's preferable for a person to bring a carbon and not get lashes. He'd rather spend money than get hit with a whip on his back. So therefore, that would be the explanation of the brayso. So that's the chumrah of shavuos pekodin over shavuos edus. But one thing you see is that that answers the question that in the case of history, but it is malchus and not carbon, and not that you're getting both, you're only getting malchus. However, amalahu rava bar isi, he said to them that actually, that according to the Rabbanan, you could say that this braisa, you cannot resolve the question from this braisa, because the truth is that according to the Rabbanan, you would actually bring a carbon even when there was asra. This braisa that says that there's no carbon, is man tana zadin shavuos hapekodin lo nitin lekapara. Who is the tana that says that when one is deliberately lying regarding the oath of a deposit, that there is no atonement? It's actually going that braisa like Reb Shimon, who he says in general regarding a shavuos hapekodin, he doesn't hold that a deliberate lie is going to get atonement, because as we brought this on the previous daf in Daf Lamed Daled, he doesn't hold the shavuos hapekodin we made mushba kenishba and the mezid is kishoygig. So therefore, according to him, it never applies by mezid that you're going to make a carbon of shavuos hapekodin. So nothing to do with a straw, no straw. Anytime you're doing the mezid, you'll get, if you got a straw, you'll get malchus. But if you didn't get a straw, you're not even going to make a carbon ever be mezid. So that's the understanding of this braisa. So why, yeah, there's going to be lashes when there's a straw by shavuos hapekodin. But according to the Rabbanan, the majority of the rabbis who disagree with Reb Shimon, carbon. I could tell you that they would hold that you also bring a carbon. It wouldn't be obvious that it's going to be only malchus and not carbon. Could be also bring a carbon. Additionally, Amru Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said to them, no, first of all, he said, unlike the previous answer of the Gemara, he says, you don't have to say, to reject your proof, that you, to say the previous braisa is Reb Shimon. Even if it's not Reb Shimon, still you cannot resolve the question that's at hand from this braisa. Why? Because bar mina dahi, except for that braisa, because da'ano taninila, I'm the one who taught this braisa. V'ochad taninila, and this is how I taught the braisa, not the way you were quoting its text. Rather, echad zedoyne ve'echad shigigasa, whether if someone is deliberate regarding the shavuos hapekodin, whether he does it by mistake, asham mekesem shkom, it's always going to be a carbon asham. And Umay Chumah said, then how do we understand it as a stringency of Shavuos HaPekodin over Shavuos HaEdus? What do you mean Shavuos HaEdus is also when if one is deliberate or by mistake he brings a carbon? That he explains, the stringency is because the Elo Hasam, whereas over there by Shavuos HaEdus, Chatas, the liability of the carbon Chatas, and the Torah doesn't give a set amount how much money you have to spend on that carbon Chatas. You could pay even the most cheapest price for that carbon Chatas, which even Bas Danka, which means a sixth, which refers to a Ma of Kesef, which is 1/6 of a dinner. That's a leniency because whereas V'hachol b'hir b'shvus b'kodin, Asham b'kesef shkolim, the Torah says if you bring a carbon Asham, which at least to Islam, and therefore that's much more, that's the stringency. So therefore there's no raya from over here. It actually doesn't say that you get malchus. It actually, the real text of the braisa is that you bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, okay, but then v'ligmina, then let's actually answer the question that we had at hand the other way. That you see that when there is, even when he does it deliberately with a warning, he brings a carbon and that he doesn't get lashes. Because you're saying bezadin is that in all situations of bezadin, he brings a carbon and not lashes. And that says the Gemara, no, because dimo de le'ashrabe. Maybe the Bryce is talking about when he wasn't warned at all. So therefore, it's not talking about lashes. But maybe if there was a hasra, maybe you would get lashes and not necessarily only carbon. Therefore, the Gemara rejects the proof either because the Braisa like Reb Shimon or because actually there's a different Tanoic text at all in that Braisa, which wouldn't resolve the question at hand. Lashon Acher, another version meaning continuing proofs regarding this question, Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ein chayav an ashe gagasav. Someone is totally in error regarding the oath that he takes, that I swear I don't have your deposit, And that's, we said in the Mishnah, he's considered an oynis, so therefore he's going to be exempt. And continues the Mishnah, Mahin Chayob Nazadoyna. What is the liability when one knows he has the deposit and he's deliberate on some level that then he's going to be chayiv for the Shavuos HaPikadon? What's he chayiv? Asham Bekesav Shkama Karmen Asham, which is for the value of 2 Slam. Now, says the Gemara, My Lav Bida Asubay. Isn't it when it says he's liable for when he's bezadon, when he's deliberate, even when he got warned beforehand, which is totally deliberate in his false oath? And you see that the liability with Hashra is a carbon. That says the Gemara, no, Hachanam, last time we hear the same answer, we could say that our Mishnah is talking about when he wasn't warned. When he wasn't warned, then the liability for carbon is even when he does it deliberate, in contrast to all other halachas, which generally deliberate is no carbon. But it wouldn't tell us anything when he gets Hashra if then there's not going to be Malkus. Tashma the Gemara says, let's bring a raya from a different source, from a brisa. The brisa is in the middle of a discussion, and it says, loy, no. Im amarta, if you say, which Rashi says it's not clear what this brisa is going on, but it's obvious they were trying to learn Ashvus HaPikadon from Nazir that became Tami. So the brisa says, no, you can't learn that from Nazir that became Tami. Because im amarta, if you say, benazir Tami, a Nazir, who is someone that has a vow that he's not going to become Tami and he's not going to partake from wine or cut his hair, where Shekin Leika, where there he gets lashes. Taima b'shvus habakadon, in contrast to a oath of a deposit, she'ina leika, where he doesn't get lashes, and therefore you can't learn out from nazir tami because nazir tami is more severe. Says the Gemara, but one thing we see is midikama leika, and the fact that whatever the case we're contrasting is, it says that in the case of nazir became tami, he gets lashes, in contrast by the shvus habakadon. Machlal da asubay, but one thing is that obviously the case we're comparing is when there's a warning, because you only get lashes when there's a warning. V'kama, and still it says, Taima b'shvus habikadon, in contrast to say by an oath of a deposit, she'ena like it, it doesn't get lashes. Aval karbamaisi, but you bring a carbon. So you see that in the case of mazid, the shvus habikadon, even when there's asra, there's going to be carbon and no lashes. So the Gemara, no, ma'ena like, what does it mean when it says, in contrast by shvus habikadon, that ena like, doesn't mean that there's no lashes. It means the ena nifta b'malkus. It does not become exempted with the lashes. Meaning maybe you need both carbon and lashes, but it's not that saying that there's no lashes. It's just that lashes itself is not enough. So I asked the Gemara, so machlab, the inference is that the contrast, the nazir tamei nifta b'malkus. So you're learning the brisa that was saying, whereas nazir tamei becomes exempt from malkus, in contrast, but shvus habikadon does not become exempt with the malkus. Question is, how carbon sibbe? But how can you say that the nazir that became tummy, all he needs to get off the hook for becoming tummy and violating his laws of nazir is lashes? But the pasuk says clearly in Bamid Bavav, Vehizr Lashem as he means, right? Mehebi keves ben shenasa, he has to bring a carbon for his becoming tummy. So how can you say that it's not saying that what the liabilities are, but just what exempts? But it's not true. A nazir tummy needs not just lashes, but also carbon. Says the Gemara, no, Hasim over there by the Nazir that became Tamei, the Maisi carbon, this that he brings a carbon, is not to exempt himself from his violation. That's Kihecha de Techa Lele Naziris B'Tahara. That's just to take, to re-effect his new Naziris to start over counting in the state of purity. That's contingent on the carbon. But that's not coming for atonement. His atonement is purely on the lashes itself, in contrast, by the Shavuos HaPikadon, where there, it's not going to exempt him with the lashes. He also needs a carbon, but it's not saying that he doesn't get lashes at all. So there's no proof yet for this question. Now, Amru Rabbanan, the Gemara tells us that these rabbis, these three rabbis that we mentioned before, who were learning Masechta Shavuos by Rabba, they said over Kamei de Rabba, in front of Rabba, what the question, they went back to their Rosh Hashiva and said what Rav Kahana had asked from them that question. Now, Amalahu, so Rabba said to them, from the fact that he asked you this question, what would the halacha be for this person that was about to take a false oath of Pikadon? That he, if he was warned beforehand, Mechlal, said Rabbi, the inference is that it was obvious to Rav Kahana that the chilo yasru bay, that if those witnesses who knew that he has the deposit did not warn him, and yet still ve'ike edim, that then it was obvious to him, he was only asking if they warned, then what to do. But it's obvious to Rav Kahana that if they knew but they didn't warn him, that mechayiv, that then the one who swore falsely regarding the deposit would be chayiv a carbon, even though the witnesses who knew that he has to pay, that he's liable. Now, on that was bothering Rabba, but why should that, in that case, the Shavuos HaPikadon, why should he be chayiv a carbon? But his denial is not going to help him anything anyway. The whole point of all these Shavuos that there's a liability of a carbon is you're exempting yourself from what would have been a monetary obligation, but you're exempting yourself, like we said in the contrast in the Mishnah on the previous daf by Perknas, where it's only something that you're exempting yourself from money, but here anyway he's going to have to pay. So it comes out, the kfiris dvarim ba'almahu, It's just a denial of inconsequential words. So that bothers Rabbi. He says, I don't understand this whole question. The presumption that his question was based on was that only if they warned, then what's the halacha? But if they didn't warn, then it's obvious that it's going to be chai. But why? What's the relevancy then to the oath? He's not exempting himself anyway. He's going to have to pay anyway. So why should he be chai in that situation? That was what was bothering Rabbi. Says the Gemara, Amuk Sav Rabbi, one thing we see that Rabbi holds is another halacha that comes out, that HaKoyfa B'mamet Sheyesh Lav Edim, if someone denies money that has witnesses, then Pati is going to be exempt from a carbon. Because what's the relevancy? They know anyway. So what I'm denying, who cares? They're going to come and make me pay anyway. Now, Amal Rav Chanina L'Rabba. So Rav Chanina said to Rabba, Tani Demasei Elach, I have a brisa that supports you in what your contention with the assumption of Rav Kahana's question was. Because the brisa says, quoting a pasuk in B'yikra, with regards to the halachas of a pekadon, of a deposit, with the chichishba, if he denies having this deposit, says the brisa, what is that saying, v'chichishba? Prat lemoyde le'echad min ha'achad. That excludes the case of when the defendant admits to one of the brothers who has a portion in this money. And in that situation, when the second brother claims him, so he admitted to the first brother, when the second brother comes and claims the money, he denies, and he swears to that effect. Oy le'echad min ha'shutman, or the same thing in regards to one of the partners, if he admits to the first one and then he denies to the second one, then he's going to be exempt. That's not considered a denial of the claim and swearing to that effect to be chayav karban shvuah. So too, when the pasuk continues, the nishba al sheker, and he swears falsely, says the brisa prat l'leiva b'shtar, that exempts if he borrowed money in a document, or l'leiva b'edim, or if he borrowed with witnesses, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is that he denies the money that has a document written to its effect, or that there are witnesses. So you see from the brisa clearly that if there's witnesses anyway, if there's a document anyway, so then he's not denying any money. Even if he swears to the fact, because he's going to make him chayv anyways, it's inconsequential, and therefore he's going to be pater. On that amalei, Rabbi actually said to him, imishum ha, if because of this brisa, the loitasayin, it's actually not supporting me. Because this brisa is actually not talking about where the guy is denying money, like my case where he's denying money, but witnesses know that I'm saying you're pater. It's not what the brisa is even talking about. The Bryce is talking about where he admits he owes the money. He's only denying that there was a document written on it, and he's denying that there were witnesses on it. Where Ba'emer Levisi says, yeah, I did borrow, but V'loi Levisi Be'edim, I didn't borrow witnesses. Or Levisi V'loi Levisi B'shtar, I borrowed, but I didn't borrow on a document. That's what the Bryce is saying. In that case, he's going to be exempt from a carbon shvua on his false oath regarding this deposit. Mimai. Says Rabbah, how do I know this? That is not a support for me. It's talking about the way I'm describing it now. It's a midik tani, because the Braisa says these two halachas. It first said v'chichishba. The first case that it was describing from the pasuk that it's what it's excluding, it has to be a denial, which the Braisa said, prat lemoide le'echem na'achen or le'echem na'ashutfin. That excludes if he had already admitted to one of the brothers or one of the partners, that's not a complete denial. And therefore, even though he denies to the second brother or second partner, he's going to be exempt. Says Rabba, hai le'echem na'achen heichadim. What is this case of when he admitted to one of the brothers, and then he denies to his second brother, and he swears to that effect, he's still going to be potter. If you think it's that when the first brother, he admitted to his half, the 50% of the shears, and then he denied to the brother the other half, but then there is a real denial by the other brother, why should he be potter? Of course he should be chayv on denying that person's 50%. Elav, rather, isn't it the amr lay that he said to them, that the amr lay that they said to him, mitravinin yazavt. They said to him, the two brothers, the two partners, says to this defendant, says, look, you borrowed from both of us. And he says, no, you guys got it wrong. Only from one of you guys I borrowed. From you I borrowed, and from you I owe the whole $100 that I borrowed. But your friend, your brother, I didn't borrow anything from him. That says, Rabbi, that's a different halacha. That's a denial of just words. And that's the and says Rabbah Ubin the Reisha Kfiris Devam, for the fact that the Reisha is talking about when just is a denial of, okay, so you don't owe both of us, you owe him, so good, pay him and then he'll share with me. It's just words. So says Rabbah Sefer Nami Kfiris Devam, it sounds like also then it would make sense that the Bryce's second halacha was also just a denial of words, which is you admit you owe the money, so who cares that you're saying that it wasn't in a document, it wasn't with witnesses, you're admitting anyway. So when you're swearing falsely on that element, it's just words, totally inconsequential, then you're going to be pater. In contrast, for the halacha of Edom, says Rabbah, that's not totally inconsequential, because you're making a complete denial on the claim. It's just, I hold that even though you're going to be pater, that's not a proof from the Bryce, and therefore you're not really proving my halacha from this price. Now the Gemara says a simon in the manik, chayva kitos de balabayis, the groups of liability of the balabayis, of the homeowner, chaymer nazir, the stringency of nazir. These are mnemonic to recall the different proofs the Gemara brings regarding this halacha of Rabba, which again was regarding this idea of if he denies and there's witnesses anyway who know, they just didn't warn them, but they know if, according to Rabba, as he said, that the person is going to be exempt from a carbon because he considers that as a non-significant denial of exemption of money, if anyone's going to be chayv anyway because the witnesses know. So the Gemara says, Tashma, that's being arrived from our Mishnah, not like Rabba. Our Mishnah said, there's no liability for a total error of a shvuas hapikadon, because that's considered like an oinus. He thought really that he doesn't have the present deposit. Continues the Mishnah, now what is he liable if there is deliberate element over there where he knows he's swearing falsely regarding the deposit? The ashram mikestav shkalam is a carbon ashram with that's worth two slime. Says the Gemara, my love zadin eidim. When it says that he's deliberate, isn't it when there was deliberate even within the face of witnesses who had warned him, and still we see that he's going to be chayav a carbon? So you see, not like Rabbi who said if witnesses know, he's already potter. Says the Gemara, lying, no, zadin atzim. It just means he knows himself in his heart that he's lying, and that he was deliberate, still he's going to be chayav. But if there were witnesses who know, then maybe actually he would be potter. The Gemara brings a different right. Toshima, from the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. The Mishnah said, ho yushtei ki te eidim. Regarding the halachas of shvuas ha'edus, if there were two groups of witnesses who knew testimony for this guy. So the Mishnah said, kafar harishayna, when the first group of witnesses deny falsely and they swear to that effect, the achkach kafar shniya, and then the second group of witnesses who also knew testimony, who swear falsely, and then they both later admit that they really knew. So the Mishnah shtein chayavas, that both groups are liable for the carbon of shvuas ha'edus. Why? Because the testimony is both independent of both. Both of them could have made the person win the court case, and they both denied falsely, and therefore they're both chayev for the carbon of shvuas ha'edus. That the discussion is bishlam mishnita chayev. We understand why the second group of witnesses should be liable, because the hakafal akat rishayin. By the time they come and they deny, the first group of witnesses already denied. Now the only ones that could help him win the court case is the second group of witnesses. When they deny, they're making him lose, and therefore they're liable for the halachas of shvuas ha'edus. El rishayin amay mechayev. The question is, why is the first group of witnesses liable for their denial of knowing testimony as we continue to Beis hakayim mishniyah? But there is still the second group of witnesses still around. And therefore, they're not creating a loss of money to this guy by denying the oath. It has to be creating a loss of money. Obviously, that when you deny money, which is the case over here, when your denial of knowing testimony is creating a loss of money for the claimant, even though there are edim who know and could help him win anyway, it's still considered a denial. That's not like Rabba, who says if there's witnesses who know, then your denial is not a denial. Adam Ravina says, no, hachmai skin, what we're talking about over here is kagayin shayis tashniya, that the second group of witnesses were b'shas kfiras rishayin, at the time when the first group of witnesses were denying that they know testimony, the second group of witnesses were kraven ben shesehen, where they were relatives through their wives. They married sisters. At that moment, they weren't fit to say testimony together because brother-in-laws cannot say testimony together. Now, then you're going to counter ask and say, well, then why did the Mishnah have to say that case? Obviously, the first group is going to be chayiv because they're the only group of witnesses. No, it was necessary. Because in that time, when the first group was denying and the second group knew the testimony but they were related through their wives, they have been the shasein geisuses. Their wives were in the throes of death. Now, ma'udetim, what would you say? That we know the halacha is reiv geisin lemisa, that most peoples in the throes of death will die. And therefore, you would say that they're like dead. And therefore, that the first group of witnesses would be like a case of denial of money that have other witnesses, where therefore you would say that the first group of witnesses should not be chayiv. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, hashtem miyas chayinin, but right now, the sisters are still alive and they're not dead. So though the majority of geisen will die, but as long as they don't die, they're still considered alive for all halachic purposes, and therefore that's why the first group of witnesses are going to be chayiv, because there are actually no edus of mammon right now, because although they're geisen, but we consider them as alive, and therefore they're related, and therefore they can't testify, and therefore they're chai. But you're right. If they weren't, then yeah, the first group would have been potter, like the way Rabbi says, because it would be considered mammon that has edim, and therefore they would be potter. Mor continues trying to bring a raya tashima, another raya not like Rabbi from the following braisa. The braisa says, Bal habayis, a custodian, a homeowner, should toin tainis ganan pipikadin. He makes the claim that the deposit that he was watching got stolen from him. where he's exempting himself from the liability that it was stolen. He claims it was stolen, and since he's a Shem Echinim, he was an unpaid guardian, he's exempt if it was stolen from him, as the Gemara learns in Baba Kamad of Samachim on Beis, that to the fact that if, let's say, he swears falsely, and then witnesses come and say, what are you talking about? We know the deposit's by you. How could you say it was stolen? The halacha is he has to pay kafel, which is double the amount, like a thief himself. But if, let's say, he admits first, he admits, I know I swore falsely, I'm sorry, I admit I really had it myself, then he's not going to be liable for kafel anymore because he was already what's called maid b'knas. He admitted to the penalty himself, which kafel is a penalty. It's the principal is the primary what was stolen, but the kafel, which is the double the amount, he's going to exempt himself by admitting. But he's still going to be liable for a chaymish, a fifth, and a karban asham, which is the halach of shvus ha-bekodin. When you swear false regarding a deposit, then there's a liability. Now, says the Braisa, if regarding this case where the guy denied that yet he has it, the deposit, he says it was stolen from me, so I'm exempt. V'nishba b'hoida, and he swears to that effect, and then he admits, I'm sorry, I swore falsely, I really do have it. Then ubo edim, then witnesses only come after he admitted. So that's what the Braisa explains. If he admitted before the witnesses even came, then Masham Karen Vachemish Vashem. Then he's not gonna have to pay for kafel because he already admitted on his own. Although when generally witnesses come, they're incriminating for kafel, he already admitted. So he's gonna pay the principal, a penalty of a fifth, which Allah regarding Shavuot HaPakadon, and the carbon ashram. However, if he only admitted after witnesses already came, the witnesses said, hey, you have it, what are you talking about? And then he admits. So then Misham Tashlumi Kefil, he'll have to pay Kefil because of the witnesses, Vi Asham, and there'll be Chayiv, a carbon Asham, because of the Shvuas HaPikadin. Now, in contrast, the Chaymish is not going to have to pay. As the Gemara Bamba Kama learns out from that pasuk, because it says, Bishilim Oisi Bereshi, he pays the principal, and he adds on the fifth, V'chamishisa Yosef Alav, is only when you pay the principal only, then you add on the fifth. When you don't pay just the principal, like in this case, where he's going to be paying kafel, then he doesn't pay the chaymish. But one thing we see is that even though there are witnesses, the person is going to have to bring a karban ashem on his shvua. So you see that shvua sabakadin applies for a liability even when there's edim, not like Rabbi who said when there's edim, his shvua sabakadin is inconsequential, and therefore he's going to be potter. Here you see that you're going to be chayiv. So it's like, oh, no, hachinamik ed Ravina. It's not difficult in Rabbi here. It's also talking about, like Ravina, that these witnesses who came were originally relatives through their wives at the time when this defendant took the oath. So at that time, there were no edim, because they weren't qualified to be edim. So that's why he's having the carbon, as if they weren't there, and then when they later come, because their wives die, and then they testify, that's what will be chayv kefil, but the carbon ashram was really liable for at the time that he took the oath. So there's no raya, not like rabba. So the Gemara continues, only Ravina Ravashi says, Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following braisa. The braisa says, chamur mimen shvus ha-pikadon, that the oath that one takes falsely regarding a deposit is more severe than the shvua that a witness takes that he doesn't know testimony, which is called shvua se'edus. Why? Shechayovin az doinamak, it's because by pekodin, when he's deliberate, he gets lashes and conscious by shvua se'edus. And also, vashigigasi, when he does it by mistake, he eats chayfa asham by kesef shkalim, it's chayfa karmen asham by kesef shkalim, in contrast, by shvua se'edus, it's just karmen chattis, which he can pay very cheap for. But one thing says the Gemara is Meduka Amar Leika, from the fact that it says that he's going to get lashes when he's deliberately lies regarding the Shavuos HaPikadon, Mechlal Deke Edim. You can't get lashes if you weren't warned beforehand. So obviously there's witnesses. And yet still Vakama Shagagas, it says when he doesn't do it deliberately, when he wasn't warned, when he does it by mistake, he brings the Asher Mekasev Shkolam. So you see that even though there's witnesses, but if he wasn't warned, it wasn't deliberate, he does it by mistake, that he'll be chayav for carbon Asher. So you see that the liability is not like Rabbah, he'll be chayav for a carbon Asher, a Shavuos HaPikadon, even if there's witnesses. On that Amalur of Mardechai, he says, no, Bar Minah Dahi, except for that Braisa. You can't learn that from that Braisa, because it's actually not talking about lashes at all. And therefore, maybe when we're talking about that he does deliberately, it wasn't with witnesses, it's just he himself knew that he's lying, and then he's deliberate. Because as we said this in Amanav, to Amalahu Rav Kahana, he said to them, Ano Taninla, he says, I learned this Braisa, V'hacha Taninla, this is the way you learn it, not that you get lashes. No, whether he does it deliberately or whether he does it by mistake is Asher Mekesef Shkalim. And again, it could be told about when he does it deliberately without witnesses. It means he himself was deliberate, and that's when he brings a Karban Asher. It wouldn't be a riot if there are witnesses who know, then actually maybe he'd be putter from the Karban Asher. So Moses says, Toshim Al's being a riot from a different Braisa, which we quoted also on Amid Aleph. Loi, no, it's the middle of a discussion. Imamarta b'nazir tamei, says the Braisa, if you're going to say this halacha applies by a nazir that became tamei, which is forbidden for him to come tamei, and then he does, he has to go through purification process. Shekin loike, if he does that sin deliberately, gets warned, he gets lashes. Tamei b'shvuas b'kadin, how could you say the same halacha you want to compare to shvuas b'kadin? She'en loike, where if he does his sin for swearing false regarding the pastor, he doesn't get lashes. So says the Gemara, heichadami, what's this case that they're contrasting nazir tamei to shvuas b'kadin? Idaleka Adim, if there's no witnesses who warned the Nazir about, hey, you're not allowed to become Tamei, Samai Loika, why would he get lashes? You only get lashes when you warn before it. El Bshita Deke Adim, obviously, is talking about where there's witnesses. And yet, Ugtani says, in the contrast, Tamei Bishwitz, because in She'en Loika, whereas by the oath of a deposit, when he swears falsely, he doesn't get lashes. So you see, Milkahu Deloy Laki, he doesn't get lashes. Avol Karban Maisi, but he brings a carbon, you see, not like Rabba, there's no lashes, but he brings a carbon. Rabba said that when there's witnesses, that not even when there's no hasra, you never bring a carbon because there's witnesses. So what did it help that I with my false oath? So the Gemara Tiyufta, the Rabba Tiyufta, that's a refutation of Rabba, not like what he said. You see clearly that a person by Shvus Bekadin, even when there's witnesses who know about it, if they didn't warn, you're still going to be chayiv on the whole question of Kahana had was if they warn. But not warning, you see, not like Rabba, that then the defendant actually would be chayiv. And the Gemara follows up that actually Rabbi Yechonam, he says, not like Rabba, ha'kayfa b'momen she'esh lav edim, if someone denies money with a shvur sabakadim, that there are witnesses who knows that he has the bakadim, then, however, even though there's witnesses, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv for a karban asham. However, Rabbi Yechonam does say b'shtar pater, but if there's a document that attests to that fact, then if he swears falsely on the shvur sabakadim, he's actually going to be exempt. Amar Papa says, my time to Rabbi Yechonam, what's the reason that he differentiates between witnesses and a document? Says Aidim Mavididimaisi. Witnesses tend to pass away. They're just human mortals. So therefore, the denial of the defendant does help to an effect. Because what do you mean, what does it help? Isn't Rabba correct? You're not denying any money. The witnesses are gonna come anyway. No, they might die. In contrast, Shtar Hamanach, a document is here forever. And therefore, that's you're not denying anything, and there Rabbi Yechon would agree that he's not gonna be chayav shvus b'kadin in that case. To which Amalei Rav Huna b'Rabbi Shulah Rav Papa, he asked, what do you mean, shtar nami of the Americas? What do you mean, a document's also not here forever. It could get lost also. So El Rav, the Gemara says a different interpretation. Amar Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshu, he says, Hain tam d'Rabbi Yechon, the reason Rabbi Yechon that it differentiates between witnesses and a document, why by witnesses he's chayev and by document he's pater for a shvus b'kadin, is for a different reason. Mishum d'hav shtar, this document, which testifies to the fact that he is chayev, and this guy is... notwithstanding, swears falsely that he doesn't owe money, that document is shibud karkois, is indebtedness of land. It's money that makes a shibud on karka, because a document is a liability that has what's called shesh ba'achrayis, which is that it can be collected from land. Whoever denies in the document is like he denying what he owes in land. Now, the Gemara tells us later on the Mabez, that Einish Boin Al Kakoyz, you don't take an oath regarding liability of land. So therefore, even when this guy does take an oath, there's not going to be the halachas of liabilities of oath to have to bring a carbon on that. And therefore, says the Gemara, Ve'emavin carbon al kafira shibe karkoyz, we don't bring a carbon on denying of a collateral on land. And the shtar is considered shibe karkoyz, and that's why you're going to be put over there. Not because if it gets lost or dies, it's just simply because even if it's clear up that you're exempting yourself, it doesn't make a difference. Kvir shibe karkoyz, one is not chayef. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings Itmar, we learned, Mashbia Eide Karka. If, let's say, someone wants to win a court case regarding a piece of land, and there are witnesses who know testimony for him, and he makes them swear to the fact that you don't know testimony, because I know you know, and you can help me win this case. And they swear falsely, and then they admit, Pligi Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Elazar. Chara Machayev, one says that the witness who swore falsely Shavuos Eid is going to be Chayev. Chara Mapata, the other one says he's going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, it's time, Rabbi Yechon, no Mapata, we can prove that Rabbi Yechon is the one who said that the witness is going to be exempt. Because Rabbi Yechon, from this halacha we just quoted before from Rabbi Yechon regarding Shavuos HaPikadin, that HaKayfe B'mamen Shesh Lav Eidim, if someone denies money that has witnesses know about it, there he said that the person who swears the Shavuos HaPikadin is going to be Chayev. But Shtar Pater, if it's with a document, is going to be exempt. And as we said, like he explained the reasoning of Rabbi Yechonon, because you're not liable for denying something that has collateral of land, This time that proves when it comes to karka, and that's what the oath is on, there's no liability, and therefore the same thing is going to be for shvuas eidus when the witnesses knows regarding land, or shvuas bekadin when it's regarding land. Either one, that there's no halach of shvuah on karka, and therefore the liability that comes out of that oath, whether it be for eidus or bekadin, is not going to be chayav, and therefore Rabbi Yechon is the one who says you're going to be pot. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Vo, he says, Leim Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Laza, let's say this last machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Laza we just quoted. If someone's mashbiya eidei karka, if it's chayav or not, is beplukta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanu Kamiflegi. The machlekes Amaram is contingent on machlekes Tanoim. Because Tetnan, which is actually a brisa, that says as follows, HaGezel Sod Mechaveh, if someone steals, robs a field from his friend, V'shotfenar, and then a river comes and floods the whole field. So the first opinion says, Chayv Lahamad Lay Sada Divri B'Eliezer. B'Eliezer says, he has to go ahead and now compensate him and give him back a new field. Now the reason for this is because Rabbi Eliezer holds that karka is nigzelis. You could steal a piece of land, and therefore, when he stole it, it was in the domain of the thief. So therefore, now that it's ruined, so the halacha says, you have to return what was stolen. You stole, it was yours, the robber, and now you have to give it back. Now you don't have it, you have to pay a new field. That's Rabbi Yez's opinion. But Chachamim, they say, no, the robber, so to speak, you can't really take the land, but you could conquer it, tells to the one who owns the land, he tells him, here is yours in front of you. Go ahead and take it. I'm off. It's back your land again. Now that's because Chacham hold that you can't rob land. So when the river flooded it, it was always in the domain of the original owner, and it's his loss, not the robber's loss. Now says the Gemara Barmina, we said regarding what principle do they disagree in their understanding of this halacha? Rabbi Eliezer Darish Ribuyit Mu'ute. He expounds the psukim in what's known as inclusive and exclusive. Whereas Rabbanan Darshi Klolit Prati, Rabbanan expound the pasuk in what's called general and specific. As follows, as the Gemara explains, Rabbi Eliezer Darish Ribuy Miut, he expounds the psukim in Ribuy and Miut. As follows, the pasuk regarding owing someone money and denying that, which is our halacha of Shvus Pekad, and the pasuk says as follows, V'chichesh ba'amisei. So he denies to his friend. So that's Ribuy, that's inclusive, that says whatever it is that he owes his friend and he denies, he's going to be chayav Shvus Pekad. But then it says specifically what? A pekadon, a deposit, a betzumasyada regarding a loan. So miyad, it's excluding, it's diminishing, it's saying specifically what are things that you deny that you can be chayav for. Then the pasuk continues, oy mikol hasheish haba, regarding whatever it is that he's going to swear about. Well, chazav riba went back now, it was totally inclusive terminology. So you have what's known as riba umid for riba. You have inclusive, exclusive, and inclusive. So that halach is riba hakol. Then you're essentially including everything. My riba, what are you including? Riba kol mila, including everything. Or my miut, but then what are you excluding? But there's still a miut there in the middle. So that's miut shtaris. That excludes the most unlike the whole category, which is documents, where the document is not worth anything of money. It's just used as a proof. So that's not denying anything of money, really. It's just a proof for something. That's excluded. That one, if one denies a document, one's not going to be chayev for this shvur, what we call shvur hapikad. Now, v'rabbanan darshi kololi prati. However, they expound the pasuk as general and the specific. So as follows, v'chichesh ba'misa, when it says he denies his friend, that's klatz, a general statement. When it says b'pikadnoi b'tzumesyadnoi b'gezel, when it says whether that if applies to a deposit or a loan or something that was robbed, that's prat, that's a specific saying, what are we talking about? Then the pasuk says, oy mikol hashei shavalav, or regarding anything that he's going to swear about. Well, chazav akal, that goes back in the general statement again. That's what's known as klal uprat klal, general, specific, and general. That halacha is, as it says in the Brayse of Rabbi Shmuel, iyata don elke in aprat. Then you can only qualify things that are similar to the specific. It doesn't have to be only what's in the specific. That would be if it's klal prat. But since it's the last klal, but it has to be at least similar to the specific. Now, that's what the Gemara says. The Rabban hold maha prat mefurish, just like the specific is explicit, that it's davar hametaltel b'guf v'mamon. It's something that's movable, because a loan or a deposit or stealing something has to be something that's movable. And b'guf v'mamon is also talking about something that it's intrinsically worth money. I've called davar hametaltel b'guf v'mamon. Therefore, what we include also when someone swears falsely to be chayv this carbon, we know as carbon shvus hapikadon, is also has to be something that's movable and it's intrinsically worth money. Yatzu kakoi, so that excludes land. Shema talla, it's not movable. Yatzu avadna, that excludes slaves. Shehukshul kakoi, because the pasuk equates slaves in the term of inheritance to land. And yatzu shtar, so that excludes documents. Sha'av bisha matalim, because even though that's movable, but ain't guf a moment, it's not intrinsically worth money by itself. That's their machlekes. So the Gemara concludes now what we want to say. Man de mechayiv, Rebbe Lazar, who says that you're going to be liable a halacha of a carbon shvua regarding when you mashbi the karka, he's kerebeliezer, meaning just like kerebeliezer includes land regarding the obligation of returning, of doing a Shabbos exela, he also includes everything that's said there in the context of those parishes, and in those parishes regarding monetary obligations, there's also a liability of a carbon, which we talk about what we call the carbon of shvuas hapikadon. So he's like kerebeliezer who says that land is something that could be stolen, which is this obligation of Yechayev a carbon shvuah also on karka. Whereas Aman the Patek Rabbanan, Rabbi Yechanun, who says that you're exempt, is going to be like Rabban, who also say that you're exempt on land, where land is not something that you're liable for these monetary obligations. On that Amalei, and that he said back to him, he says, no, it's not necessarily the Machlekes, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yechanun's Machlekes, Rabbi Yez and Rabbanan. Because Man Machayev, Rabbi Yez, the one that says that you're going to be chayiv on the Mashbin Edikarka, yeah, he obviously has to be like Rabbi Yezer. But a man the Pata Malach Rabbi Yechon who says that you need Pata by Mashbin Edikarka, he could tell you that no, Baha Fala Rabbi Yezer Maid. In this case, that I disagree with you regarding when there are witnesses who know testimony regarding land, that I say they're going to be exempt, even Rabbi Yezer would agree, meaning even though he includes land regarding the liability of Hashava of returning the Gizela, he would agree that you would not include it regarding the liability of Chaimish and a carbon Asham when you swear falsely on the piece of land. Because when the Pasuk then goes and talks about the concept of Chaimish and a carbon Asham, Drachmana Amen Mikoil, the Pasuk says that from everything that if a person will swear falsely, and it says it'll have to bring a carbon Asham and a Chaimish, when it uses the term Mikal, from everything, Veloy Hakol, and not everything. The mem is excluding something which is not exactly like the specific, which is land. And therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer, who includes it for the returning of the theft when you steal, but regarding taking a shvua, which is the halacha of the carbon asham, there it says mikol is excluding and not everything. And therefore, even there he would agree that's not going to apply to land. Now, Amar Pab Mishmei de Rava, he says, Masnitin Namideka, our Mishnah is also precisely like Rabbi Yechanan, that one is not chayav a carbon shvua on land, meaning in his machlekes with Rabbi Lazar, because the Ketanei, our Mishnah taught as follows. Genavta Shevi. Now, our Mishnah said, if someone claims to his friend, he says, look, you stole my ox. Boy, Maloy Genavta, he says, I didn't steal it. And he says, Mashbeach, and I want you to swear to me. Vam Amani says, yes, he accepts the shvua. So chayav is going to be liable because that's a monetary claim. Now, says Rav Papa in the name of Rava, but ve'ilu genavta es avdi lo ketani. It only says you stole my ox. It doesn't say you stole my slave. My time, but why not? Why to pick ox, not slave? La'av mishum, isn't it? Because the eved iskish lekarkoi is because the slave is compared to land, like we said before. It says in the pasuk, v'snachaltam oisam. L'resha sachuzi, you should inherit them as an eternal inheritance, which is like nachuzah of karka. It compares it to land. And the ve'emevin carbon al kfira shibikarkai is meaning, just like Rabbi Yechanan said, you don't bring a carbon for denying collateral of land. And therefore, he couldn't say the case of being chayiv for stealing a slave, because a slave is like karka. And regarding a slave and karka, one is not chayiv a carbon shvua on shvuas bekadon. That's why I couldn't say enough to Zavdi, because it's like karka. And karka, like Rabbi Yechanan says, one is pater. On that, Amar Papi Mishmei de Rava, he says, no, aim a seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes, Zakla, this is the rule. Kol mashalma pi atzmei chayav, wherever you would have to pay based on your own testimony and you deny and you swear to that effect, then you chayav a carbon shvua. V'she'en mashalma pi atzmei pata, but if you don't have to pay by yourself like the case of Knas, then you can be exempt. So, Zakla lasu imai, when it says this is the rule, generally, as the Gemara says throughout Shas, it comes to include something. What's it coming to include when it says this is the rule? If he would have to pay by himself, he would be, and he denies it now, then it's Michayev. Lav lasu yiganaftis avdi. Isn't it coming to include the case of that you stole my slave? Where if the guy would admit, he would be chayev. And therefore, that's the case being included here when he denies falsely and he swears to that effect that he is chayev, which contradicts the inference you want to say like Rabbi Yechanan. Actually says, nalakim, it says like Rabbi Lazar. So rather, it's a continued type of lamachasim and aleph, el mahalak el mashman, and rather, Gemara says, obviously, from our Mishnah, you cannot infer it, because one inference sounds like Rabbi Yechanan, which is what Rav Papa wanted to say, and then one inference sounds like not like Rabbi Yechanan, like Rav Papa wanted to say, and therefore, it's not a raya from our Mishnah regarding this machlekes, Rabbi Yechanan or Lazar, regarding this halacha of if someone's mashbi eide karka, if he tells witnesses who know testimony regarding a piece of land that he's disputing, if they're going to be chayiv or not, do we say e mashbin? Al karka would goes to that effect that if someone swears falsely regarding these halachas like shvuas eidus and shvuas pekadon, that then they're going to be exempt from the liability of a carbon or not. That's the machlekes of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lazar, which is no proof from the halacha of our Mishnah.